Today, I'm joined by our training coordinator, Safia Haraz.
Every university will have slight variations on what their requirements are. So for example, the number of hours spent shadowing the DPP specifically can change. It could be anything from 25 hours, and we've seen up to, I think, about 60 to 70 hours.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to our DPP Connect podcast series. My name is Holly Lawrence. I'm your host today, and I'm the DPP Support and Liaison Officer at DPP Connect. And today I'm joined by our training coordinator, Safia Haraz. Safia, welcome to the podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hi Holly, and hi everybody. Thank you very much for having me on the podcast. As Holly said, I am the training coordinator for DPP Connect.
So in this podcast, we will essentially be providing a comprehensive guide for pharmacists who are looking to gain their IP qualification and go through all of the hints and tips that Safia has picked up along the way while she supported multiple students in their applications to universities. So Safia has a unique role, and within her role, she has lots of experience in supporting pharmacists apply to a wide range of universities and also universities that have very unique requirements. So first and foremost, Safia, if a student is looking to apply for their IP course, how much choice do they actually have, and how many universities offer this course in particular?
So this is a great place to start. So the first thing I think to consider is this IP course is actually open to various healthcare professionals. So it's open to pharmacists, nurses, and paramedics. And how many universities offer this course depends on which one of those you are. Some of the universities offer this course to all healthcare professionals, whether you're a pharmacist, nurse, or paramedic, but some of them will only offer to specific professions. So it's worth finding out. It's worth doing a quick Google search. We'll show you which universities offer the IP course and to which professions they offer them to. Currently, the best way to find out if you're a pharmacist is just by going onto the GPHC website. And in their list at the moment, they're showing 52 universities that offer this IP course. So you are quite spoiled for choice. And this is up and down the country. In terms of if you're a nurse or a paramedic, like I say, a quick Google search will show you all the universities that do have this course available to you. The other great thing is that this course is HEE funded at some universities. So HEE have just announced that they're extending the funding to March 2025. So this means that it is covering the upcoming IP cohorts, which is absolutely brilliant news. And again, this information can be found really easily just by going onto the HEE website. They've got different lists just showing which universities they are funding and how to go about accessing the funding.
Okay, that's really good to know. So you mentioned that there is funding out there. Which universities actually have the HEE funding available?
So it depends, it changes. So the best way to know which universities are being funded for the upcoming cohort and for the January-March cohorts of 2025 is to go onto the HEE website. It could be a simple quick Google search of just HEE funded IP course, and it will bring up a list of all the different universities that are offering HEE funding for their courses. Alternatively, we will be publishing a list as well of HEE funded courses.
Perfect. Thanks, Safia. And can you give a little bit of advice around what students should expect when applying for their IP course?
Sure. So I would say first and foremost, I think the thing that we've noticed, obviously, after having done this for a while, is that students should give themselves plenty of time in order to apply for the course. So just make sure you know exactly what you want to do with this course. Pick the university or universities that you want to apply for. Pick the cohort that you want to apply for. The process can take a little while, and I think sometimes students are a little bit surprised at how long the forms can take to fill in or how long the process can be. So I would say just give yourself ample time to make sure that you've got time to fill in the forms, to submit your applications to the universities, but also to ensure that you've got time to find a DPP with us and get all the information that you need from the DPP application with us, and time for the DPP to fill in your forms, which you'll need to submit to the university.
Perfect. And obviously, depending on the university, there's going to be some variation between courses and then things that are also standardized across all universities. So, can you sort of go through the sort of main aspects that remain the same from university to university?
Sure, yeah, of course. So, as standard, all universities will require you to have a DPP in place before applying for university. So, this needs to be in place before you submit your application for all universities. So, we would recommend, as I said, finding a university and picking the cohort that you want to apply for. After you've done that, that would be the perfect time to come to our website, find the DPP that will match your application and apply for your DPP then, just so that you've got enough time then to submit your application with the DPP information. So that's the first thing. You definitely need to have a DPP in place. All universities require you to be a qualified pharmacist, paramedic, or nurse before applying. You have to have the experience, you have to understand the course that you're applying for. And I think one of the main things that maybe is overlooked sometimes is just understanding why you're applying for the IP course, making sure that you're doing it for the right reasons, that you're passionate about developing in your career and also improving patient outcomes. This is a huge thing and a huge reason for doing the IP course. So that's one of the main things for all universities. You also need to know that with the DPP, when you sourced your DPP, all universities require 90 hours of learning and practice. So this is a standard across the board.
Thanks, Sophia. And then as well, in terms of variation, what things do we see that differ from university to university?
So in terms of variation, something that we do point out is that every single university is different. They might have like a standard set of rules across the board. They'll be following GPHC and RPS guidelines, competency frameworks. However, every university will have slight variations on what their requirements are. So, for example, the number of hours spent shadowing the DPP specifically can change. It can be anything from 25 hours, and we've seen up to, I think, about 60 to 70 hours of shadowing of the DPP. That needs to be checked with the university just to ensure that you're prepared and ready when applying for your DPP. One of the other things is whether or not the university will allow remote in practice learning or if it has to be face to face. This also can depend on your area of speciality. So this is definitely worth checking if you're thinking about doing a remote placement, which we do offer. There are some DPPs who are set up to offer remote learning. If you're considering doing that, you need to check with the university that it won't be a problem before applying for that.
Thank you, Sophia. Can you explain some of the difficulties you think pharmacists might face when they're going through their IP qualification?
Yeah, of course. So I think first and foremost, I think the most important thing to understand is that the IP course is a big commitment. Although it's a short course and it's part-time, it's not that it's necessarily going to take up a lot of time in terms of study days or even your DPP placement. This is going to be the minimal time. However, a lot of independent study is required, and a lot will go into that. Building your portfolio, assessments, understanding what you need to do is going to be a big commitment from the student, and I don't think this should be underestimated. It's quite an intense course. It's a short course, but it's an intense course. So I think that's the number one thing that students should be aware of. Number two, I think a lot of our students are coming from community pharmacy, and obviously this is a transition into a clinical setting. So this can be a little bit of a difficult transition sometimes. That's part of what we do is help to support you in that by offering training and support throughout, just to make sure that we make it as seamless as possible from transitioning from community pharmacy to a clinical setting. So that's the second thing. The third thing is that, as I said before, it's a lot of independent study. So although you have a DPP and you have your in-practice learning with them, and obviously they are there to be a guide and a mentor, there's not a lot of hand-holding in this. There is an expectation of having a certain level of knowledge before going into this and being able to understand and figure things out for yourself. So although you will be taught, there will be a big expectation of self-study and independent learning. And I would say, lastly, it would probably be filling in the university application forms can be a little bit difficult as well. So as I previously said, some of them require a lot of information. They can be quite a lengthy process, and there are quite a lot of different sections and different aspects that you need to consider, which again is why I would say giving yourself enough time is very important before applying for the course.
Thanks, Sophia. And in terms of timeline, can you talk us through sort of how long it will take to complete the process of applying?
Of course, yeah. So it all starts with obviously finding and choosing your university that you want to apply to. So that would be step number one. Obviously, we'd encourage you to research the university, see which one fits you best, however long that takes, finding the cohort that's suitable for you. So after doing that, you can request or download the application forms if they're available from the university, start filling them in. So this can be, as I said a little bit before, this can be a little bit overwhelming just in terms of some of the application forms can be quite long, and there is a certain amount of information that is required of the student. So depending on how much time you want to dedicate to doing that in one sitting or spreading it out and filling in different sections at different times, it can take a little while to complete your section of the student application for the university. After that, you would reserve your DPP slot as we recommended before. And this application is set out into three steps. So it would be a case of going onto our website, registering with the website, which is immediate, and then finding a DPP that's suitable for you and a date that's suitable for you, reserving them. And then we have our application process, which is quite a short application process. It's just filling in some details about yourself, reading through the terms and conditions and making sure you agree to them, and then doing a one-way video interview. So it's a set number of questions, and we say this doesn't take very long. It takes about 20 minutes to complete this video interview. So however quickly you can do that, and obviously we can then receive your application and then review it. So we would say that then our application review takes maybe 1 to 3 working days, depending on the volume of applications that we've got at that point. After that, you would pay the balance of the fee. If your application is successful, you would be requested to pay the balance of the fee for the DPP, and then send us your filled in university application forms, highlighting the sections that the DPP needs to fill in, sign. And then we'd send that to the DPP. Now, this part can take a little while, just because obviously we know the DPPs are in full-time work. They're working for the NHS. They're working in surgeries. They have very busy schedules. They're GPs, they're pharmacists. So it's not an immediate turnaround. It can take a little while for them to get through, because sometimes the DPP sections are also quite lengthy. So we do ask you to allow, we usually ask the DPPs to do it within a week, but it can take up to a couple of weeks for the DPPs to be able to fill in these forms and send them back to us. And as soon as we get them back, we give them to you, and then you can submit your application for university. So we would say, in terms of timelines, with all that included, we would recommend that you give yourself as much time as possible. However, it would be around at least 3 weeks going from choosing your university to being able to apply for the university.
Perfect, thank you. And if we think about the actual delivery of the course, I know there probably will be students that are listening that would prefer sort of remote delivery. Is there any universities that offer this? And which ones, if they do?
Yeah, so that is a great option for a lot of students, and more students are taking advantage of this, we've seen. So there are a number of universities that offer fully remote learning. There are some also that do hybrid. So the main ones that we're aware of that offer fully remote learning would be UWE. So this is the University of West England, also known as Bristol. They offer fully remote learning. Bath University offer fully remote learning, and Robert Gordon University also offer fully remote learning. And as I say, there are other universities who might offer like minimal face-to-face days, and they would advertise this as like a hybrid kind of setup.
Perfect. And I know you mentioned before that some universities require more from the DPP themselves. Can you go through sort of which universities they are?
Of course, yeah. So what we've found when receiving applications from students is that the universities that might require additional information from DPPs, or the university applications that might be slightly more lengthy for the DPP, we found that UCL do this with their application forms. Reading have quite a lot of additional information, Reading University, and Medway School of Pharmacy.
Thanks, Sophia. And could you go through when the university cohorts start so pharmacists are aware of that?
So yeah, there are generally three cohorts a year. This can change between universities. Each university, if you go onto their website, you'll be able to find which cohorts they offer and how often they offer them. So it's generally a January cohort, a March cohort, and a September cohort. There are some universities that only offer one cohort a year, maybe two cohorts a year. And these might be a January one, a March one, or a September one as well. So these are the three main cohorts that universities would offer a year. And it might be only one of these, it might be two of them, or it might be all three of them.
Okay. And I think some of the questions we've had is based around the dates on our DPP website and how they're different to the cohort with the university. Can you explain that?
Yeah, of course. So this is in line with the university requirements as well. So you'll notice that, for example, if you're applying for a September start, a September cohort at university, when you go onto our website, our DPP placements start in October. This is because we want to allow for the students to start their university course and settle into the university course, understand what is required for starting their DPP placement. Yep. So this is something that's recommended by the universities as well. DPP placement has to start after their university course has started. So you'll see that wherever your cohort is, the DPP placement that you're looking for will generally be a month after the start of the university course.
Perfect, makes sense. And how long is the IP course in total?
So again, this is a great question because this also differs between universities. It is a part-time course for all universities, and most of them, the standard is 6 months. However, there are some universities who will offer an accelerated or fast track option. So for example, Manchester University for an accelerated course, which is 4 months. There's also De Montfort University who have a fast track option. So although they offer the 6 month course, they've also got an option to do it in 4 months. And then there are also some universities who will offer the option of being able to extend it to 12 months. So the standard is 6 months, but if you were looking for either a shorter course or a longer course, this might be an option for you, but it's something that you need to check the university directly.
Perfect. One scenario I think we've come across quite a lot is students have attempted to apply for their IP qualification, but they've been told that they can't pay for their DPP directly. Have you got any advice around this?
Yeah, sure. So at DPP Connect, we understand that one of the reasons that universities are worried about students paying for their DPPs is due to the conflict of interest and due to cases of unethical practices. So we understand this, and this is one of the reasons that we actually created the service, was to act as an independent body between the student and the DPP to prevent situations occurring. So for example, we've heard about students paying DPPs just to be signed off as competent, regardless of whether or not they're judged as competent. We've also heard concerning stories where pharmacists are paying between £3,000 to £8,000 to be signed off, and then withholding the money until the DPP has signed them off as competent. So part of this is that we actually have a standardized price to make sure that nobody's being exploited, and the DPPs are paid regardless of whether or not the student is signed off as competent. So this eradicates this conflict of interest and it eradicates these unethical practices. We want to make sure that the student's learning experience is maximized and that both the student and the DPP are being looked after and working in an ethical way. As an organization, we want pharmacists to flourish professionally and not be exploited. Therefore, we've worked hard to create a governance framework behind DPP Connect alongside our quality assurance and governance advisor, Danny Bartlett. This is to ensure we provide this ethical and professional learning experience. Part of the way that we do this is we vet all of our DPPs and potential IP students to ensure that they have the highest quality learning in practice, period. So to answer your question, Holly, I would say if students are worried about universities having this rule of not being able to pay for a DPP, then I wouldn't let this put them off. We've spoken to a number of universities now about this concern. We've had discussions with them, and they've come to understand the way the service works and they're happy to proceed with it. We want to work collaboratively with universities to make sure that the students are getting the best from not only their course, but their DPP placement experience. So if it is a concern and if it continues to be a concern, then I would suggest after you've applied, then come to us with it. We're here to support you and just let us know what your concerns are. And we'd be happy to support you in the process of applying to the university and collaborating with the university in order to get past this.
Thanks, Safia. So you briefly touched upon our DPP Connect service, and I think it would be really useful just to expand on that a little bit and explain a little bit about sort of the training that we provide sort of in comparison to the learning they'll receive from the university and how that differs.
Sure. So as much as the university training, I'm sure will be excellent, what's provided to the students with the university training, it'll be thorough clinical skills, but it might not be the practical or the system skills that you need to work in a clinical setting. The focus won't be on that. So as an organisation, this is something that we are experts in and we do well. So we want to offer this support as well, something that you might not get from the university and something that you will definitely need during your placement. So we offer training, e-learning, on-demand e-learning and support to help you transition into that clinical setting.
Thanks, Safia. And to finish off, this might be a bit of a controversial question, but you've got lots of experience with all of the different universities and their requirements. So can you recommend any particular universities and those that you've had a good experience with to finish off?
Of course. So as we've said, we work with a lot of universities and most of them have got their own good points. But the ones that we recommend as an organisation, ones that we've had really good experiences working with and our students have had good experiences with, I would say Brighton University, University of West England, so Bristol, Robert Gordon University, Leicester University, Keele University, and I would say Aston and Salford University as well.
Thank you so much for your time and insight today, Safia. I think this session has been really valuable for anyone that's considering applying for their IP qualification. We've gone through lots of useful hints and tips and the do's and don'ts, really, which I think will help a lot of potential students firstly decide if they want to do their IP qualification, but also if they do, which university, should they choose. As ever, if you have any questions, please feel free to get in touch via dppconnect.co.uk. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Robbie.